So today I'm looking at your mind, your imagination, and the Word of God. That's what we're looking at today. Your mind, your imagination, and the Word of God. I'm going to look at this in three parts. I'm going to look at the first part today. I'll look at the second part next week. And the week after that, we'll look at the third part of your mind, your imagination, and the Word of God. And I believe that if we can really take these things to heart, by the time we finish this series, you will understand how God speaks to you. It's different for everybody, but there are certain basic principles. You'll understand how you can prophesy. The Bible says that as believers, we have the spirit of prophecy upon us. You will know when God is saying something to you, when God is speaking through you to someone else in the form of prophecy. It is not complicated at all, although there are certain practices that you have to adopt, and there are things that you should adopt anyway as a believer. So by the time we finish and we land back in church, I'm believing God that when we have our services, someone will stand up and prophesy. Someone will have word of knowledge for somebody else. Do you understand? That's where we're going, and it's very, very simple. So we're looking at your mind, your imagination, and the Word of God. These are, I believe, the three fundamental things with regards to communicating in the realm of the Spirit, with regards to how God speaks to us. If you can understand, or if we can come to the understanding of the function of our mind, the function of our imagination, and the Word of God, those three together, if we can understand them in the context of the Bible, in the context of God, I'm telling you, you will sit down and God will be communicating to you, and you will know exactly that this is God speaking to you. Those are the three areas we're looking at for the next 3 weeks. So the first thing I want to mention is this. We're looking at 5 points tonight. So the first point I want to mention, that which I did last week, just to give us context, is this. There are three parts to every believer. Well, to every human being, but most especially to the believer. You are a spirit, you live in a body, and you have a soul. Very, very, very important that we get that. And if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So there we see here, Paul is saying something here, that you have a spirit, soul, and body. Now, you can see your physical body because it's obvious. You can't see your soul, but you can sense how your soul is. So your soul is where your emotions, your mind, and your imagination and your consciousness, that's where it resides. So you can almost tell what's going on with your soul, because you can feel sad, and something inside you feels sad. That's your soulish realm. Then there is your spirit. Now, it is your spirit that is the real you. Now, that's the bit that a lot of us are not really like, really, I have a spirit. I mean, what does that mean? That's the part that we want to understand, and how your spirit and your soul and your body work together. So the first point is that you're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. So three parts of you. Every person has three parts, or three forms, not forms, three parts. Now, the second point I want to make here is this. As a believer, the primary way God communicates to us is through our spirit, through our human spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. That was physical. You could see it physically. When God came down when he was speaking to the children of Israel, fire was all around the place, so they could see fire, they could see all this, they could hear the voice of God, even though they didn't really understand what God was saying then. So that happened sometimes in the Old Testament, but that's not the norm. God does not appear to us to speak to us face to face. He speaks to us primarily through our human spirit, because God is a spirit. God is not, doesn't have a body, so he's not going to be communicating to us the way I am speaking to you. Now, so one thing we need to realize is that when people say, oh, God spoke to me, or, you know, God speaking to me, we might be expecting that God will be speaking to us the way I'm speaking to you at the moment, you know, through your physical ears, but that's not how God speaks to us primarily. So if you're waiting and listening to God the way I'm speaking now, really you might be waiting for a long time and not really hear God that way. So God speaks to us. He communicates to us through our human spirit. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14, it says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10, it says, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So this second point that I'm making is that God communicates to us through our spirit. Now, it is through our spirits that we get understanding. It is through our spirits that God, we have word of knowledge, word of wisdom, that God tells us things. Now, it is through our spirits that the Holy Spirit interprets the Bible as well. And there are several ways that that happens. But the point I'm just trying to make is that you have your spirit, God speaks to your spirit, and that communication has to come through, has to go through from your spirit to your mind so that you can understand what God is actually saying. So when God speaks to your spirit, it is your when God speaks to you and I, he speaks to our spirit, and it is from there that we now get the understanding in our minds. But I'll talk about that much more later. The third point I want to make tonight is this. Our soul is what sits between our spirit and our body and our understanding. Now, what do I mean by that? Now, God speaks to your spirit as a human, as a believer, but there's something that has to happen. There has to be some sort of like interpretation of what your spirit is saying, so that the interpretation of what your spirit is saying is now comes to your mind. Now, let me just give an example. I remember there was a there's a time at our church when I believe Sister Giuliani's parents came from Brazil then, and you know, they came with some other people, and you know, to our church service, and I said, okay, look, let me preach in English, and Sister Giuliani would interpret to, you know, the folks that were there in what's that Brazilian language again? I've forgotten what that language is that they speak in Brazil. So what happened was this. I spoke in English. She interpreted what I was saying to another language. Now, as I was speaking in English, the people who were from Brazil did not understand what I was saying. They just realized, okay, this pastor is speaking and I was uttering my words in English. But it needed her, who understood both English and the Brazilian language, I don't remember what language they speak there anymore, to interpret what I was saying to them so that it made sense to them. Now, if we look at it in the same way, God speaks to your spirit and something has to interpret what God is saying to you to your mind so that you can gain that understanding. So that is where the soul comes in. That is where your mind comes in. Now, how do you hear God in your mind? We'll look at that subsequently. So it is your mind, your soul, your mind that picks up what your spirit is saying, and your mind finds a way to interpret it to you so that you can understand what your spirit has received from God. There's a process that happens there. Sometimes we just understand straight away, and we're not even aware that it's our soul, it's our mind that has interpreted what God is saying to us. And we're able to say, okay, this thought just occurred to me. That thought that occurred to you might just be God speaking to you and your mind interpreting it to you as a thought. We'll look at that in much detail. So the third point I'm making here is that our soul, which has our mind, our imagination, is what interprets what God is saying to our spirit, to us, that brings understanding to us. So that's the third point I'm making. And Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So what this is saying is that your soul and your spirit are joined together, and it's often difficult to distinguish which one is my spirit. Is it my spirit speaking, or is it just something else speaking in my soul? Is this I think where the challenge comes is deciphering or understanding what is in your spirit. Your spirit communicates with God all the time, or God puts things in your spirit all the time. It is now interpreting and understanding what is in your spirit from God and bringing that understanding to your mind. That's what the mind does, and that's where your soul becomes the interpreter between your spirit bringing understanding to your mind. All right, so that's the third point. Now the fourth point is this: there is an interpretation. I'm just using that word interpretation. I'm not saying translation. There's a difference between translation and interpretation. When you translate something, for example, you've got something written in English saying, "I am Pastor Benson." A translation to another language is translating that thing word for word into another language. So I'm not talking about translation. Interpretation is what I'm talking about, which is explaining something in another language that might not be word for word. Do you get what I mean? So the fourth point I want to make here is that your soul, and I'll start referring to your mind now, but when I'm saying your mind, I'm talking about your mind sitting in your soul, or our mind sitting in our soul. Your mind is what decodes what God is saying. Now, for you to understand for your mind to understand what's in your spirit, to bring you understanding, there are certain things that you need to understand, and we'll look at that. How does that happen? Now let me give us a typical example of God speaking to someone and the person did not understand what God was saying at all. Why? Because they did not know how to interpret what that act, in fact they didn't even know it was God speaking to them at all. So that was the first problem. They didn't know it was God. And even if they knew, they just couldn't interpret what God was saying to them to bring that understanding to their mind. And it's a popular story. I'm going to read Daniel chapter 2, verse 29 to 36. This was a dream that Nebuchadnezzar, a king at that time, had. I'm just going to read it here, and I want to point out a number of things. This is what you will call a typical scenario of God speaking to an individual, and this is exactly, well, let me not say exactly, this is oftentimes the way God speaks to us as well as believers. And sometimes we're like Nebuchadnezzar, where we don't really understand God has spoken one, we're not even quite sure it's God to start with, and even if we are sure it's God, it's like, what does this actually mean? Because oftentimes God will not speak to you word for word like I'm speaking this way. You understand? Let me read Daniel chapter 2, 29-36, this story of Nebuchadnezzar. So background to this, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and he didn't know what it meant. In fact, I think he actually even forgot the dream. And he now called his soothsayers and said, "You guys interpret my dream. In fact, tell me what my dream is in interpretation, or you're all dead." And everybody was going helter-skelter. Daniel heard about this and he prayed to God. God showed him the dream that this king had and also gave him the interpretation. That's the background. Let me read Daniel chapter 2, verses 29 to 36. As your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to things to come. Underline that word. Your mind turned to things to come. Underline that word, your mind. Your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what was going to happen. God showed him what was going to happen. And as for me, the mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than anyone else, but so that your majesty may know that the interpretation, underline that word, and that you may understand what went through your mind. Understand that word. And we begin to see here that mind, we're hearing here, mind, interpretation, mind. God said mind, interpretation. So we begin to see a link here that, hang on, God spoke to this king's mind certain things, but he didn't understand it. What he heard had to be interpreted. All right, so let me carry on. It says, your majesty looked, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of that statue was made of pure gold, as its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs iron, its feet partly iron and partly baked clay. While we are watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue in its feet and in its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Let me just fast forward a bit. 37. Your majesty, you are the king of kings. The Lord of heaven has given you dominion and power, might and glory in your hands. He has placed mankind, the beast of the air, the field. Let me just stop there. It's a long story. Read Daniel chapter 2. So in this dream that the king had in his mind, he saw a statue. Part of that statue was gold, part of it was clay, part of it was iron. And it was like the king was watching and he was like, what does this actually mean? Now, God had spoken to him and that was it. Daniel now began to interpret what the king saw. He said, this part of the image that you saw that is iron or that is gold represents this kingdom. This part that you saw that is silver represents this kingdom. This part that is made of clay represents this kingdom. So Daniel began to interpret what God told this man. Do you understand? Now, how does that relate to us? This relates to us in the same manner. God speaks to us through our spirits, and our minds get those, our mind retrieves what God has put in our spirit. Now, oftentimes, God will speak to us in symbols and in images. Now, for example, I remember that, let me just think of one. There was a time I was speaking to, well, this couple came to visit us. And, I was talking to them with another pastor. They were in ministry as well, but they just came to us so that we'll all pray together. Really good friends of ours that we should, pray with them. And I had a pastor friend who was visiting, so he was praying. So this couple came, they were in ministry as well, planning to go into ministry. So as my pastor friend was praying, I closed my eyes and I was, just listening to the prayer. And as I did that, I began to see certain images about the wife of this minister. And what did I see in that? I saw a tree. Very strong tree, and I saw that this tree was a storm that was blowing this tree. And when I saw this tree, I saw the face of this minister, the face of his wife flashed on the tree, disappeared, and I saw the tree was just being blown up and down, but it was rooted. It wasn't being uplifted. And that was it. That was what I saw. Now, that was God saying something to me about this man's wife that was sitting this minister's wife that was sitting right, they were sitting right there. So like this king, I had an image of this person. Now, what does that image mean? That is now the second part of the interpretation. Do you understand? Now, I now understood that to mean that apparently at that time, this woman was going through a lot in her life. It seemed as if her life was just going to, it was turmoil upon turmoil. So that was what I saw. So I now interpreted that to mean that, look, and I told her, I said, look, this is what you're going through. You're going through this challenge that, you know, a lot of challenges at the moment. And it seems like you're going to be, you know, your life is just going to be toppled. However, God has said, I should tell you right now that nothing is going to happen to you, that you're firmly rooted, that even though the storm is blowing you left, right and center, nothing is going to happen. It's going to pass. So that's what I told her. And she was ecstatic because apparently she was going through a lot. And that's exactly what happened. There was a woman I spoke to as well a few weeks ago. We're distributing flyers. I was speaking to her on the phone and she was talking and talking. And as I was listening to her, in my mind, I was like, God, what is really happening to this woman? Straight away, I saw something else as well. And for this particular woman, I saw her and she was facing, it was like a silhouette. So she was backing the sun and looking at me. Well, that's what I saw. So her face was, you know, she was backing the sun. There was no light. It was like in the woods. There was no light. And it was like a silhouette. So I couldn't, it was just a dark figure that I saw. And I saw light shining from behind her. Do you understand? So and I began to tell her that, look, this might sound a bit weird to you, because that was the first time I spoke to her and it was over the phone. So I now began to tell her that, look, you're in a place at the moment that is dark and God is right behind you. God is saying certain things to you, but it seems like you don't really understand what God is saying to you. And I don't know if she began to cry or something. So as I began to say that, as I was interpreting what I saw, I began to get more and more understanding. I now understood that, look, this woman has been asking God about something, but she doesn't know that, you know, she doesn't think God is there. And I now said, okay, this God is right there beside you. And he's going through whatever it is you're going through with, well, he's right there beside you. And he just wants you to know that. So I don't know if she started crying or something. As I finished that, we were talking and I saw another thing about this woman exactly. And what I saw was that this woman, this one is slightly personal, she was standing right in the middle and her children, I saw two kids right in front of her and I saw someone behind her that looked like her husband. I'm not going to tell you the name anyways, this is just an example. So that was what I saw in the flash. I now began to tell her that, look, it seems like you're husband thinks that you're standing between you, between him and your children. And I said some other things. So she was shocked because that was exactly what was happening. Her husband thought she was playing games with the children, why am I saying all these things? I'm just saying all these things to give us the sense that, look, this is how it happens oftentimes, that if you're expecting it, God gives you an image. It might be 2 seconds. You just see a flash. God has spoken to you. Now, what does that thing mean? How do you begin to interpret what God is saying? Well, the next thing is that you ask the question, God, what does this mean? And the more you do that, the more it becomes easier for you to interpret. You might just interpret it in a flash. Do you understand what I mean? So what I'm just saying, I'm just trying to make it as straightforward as possible. And there are ways that we can sharpen how quickly we interpret what God is saying. There are ways that we can sharpen our hearing of God. So when we begin to know that, okay, oh, this is how God actually speaks to me, we'll be expecting that God can speak to us more. Do you understand what I mean? And it's not difficult at all. It's just the expectation, and there are certain other things that you know, help with that as well. The last thing I want to mention here is, which is the fifth thing, is that the state of your mind will determine how clearly you can hear what God is saying to you. Now, what do I mean by that? Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11 says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. So Paul, well, the writer of Hebrews was saying here to these guys that, look, there's so many things I don't tell you guys, but you become dull of hearing. You're not really hearing. It's like your hearing is a bit dull. Now, what this is saying is that we might be in a state where our ability to hear God becomes dull, and it's like it's not really as clear as it should be. And I think we're all in different stages. I mean, there are times I'm like, what does this mean? You know, this does make sense to me, God. So we're all at different stages where sometimes, or because of the way life is, we're so busy, so on and so forth, our ability to really hear God clear sometimes can be dull. I'm telling you, it can be dull. And there's certain, well, there are some other things as well that try to like dullen our ability to hear accurately, our ability to receive words of knowledge or words of wisdom. So many things like really vying for our attention. Do you understand? But there's a certain state of mind that we need to have that will ensure that when God speaks, you just hear straight away. And we'll look at what those things are. Again, I'm nothing cryptic, nothing, you know, spooky or extraordinary, just simple things that as we begin to have a certain state of mind, we begin to have a certain attitude towards God, then we get to the point where we will begin to hear God clearly. There's some other things as well, like the Word of God. The Word of God plays such an important part in our hearing God, and I'll explain how that works. But what am I saying tonight? I'm just trying to make it as practical as possible so that we understand that God actually speaks to us, but we have to position ourselves in the point where we begin to understand how God speaks normally. Obviously, God can speak in visions, in dreams, but I'm just talking about just the regular believer way, you know, how God, you know, speaks to us. That as we begin to position ourselves, our hearts in a particular way, and begin to pay attention to certain things in our lives and to God, things will begin to be clear to us in terms of God speaking to us. And I tell you, in the day that we're in now, the days that we're in, you and I, we need God to really give us direction. We need God to speak to us, even if not for us. We need God to speak. Well, we need to be available so that God can encourage other people through us. Do you understand what I mean? So God speaking to you and I, it works both ways. It helps us to be confident in God. It helps us to be able to encourage other people as well in God. So tonight we've looked at five things. We've looked at the fact that as a human being, you are, well, there are three parts to you: body, spirit, and soul, or spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit, you live in a body, and you have a soul. The second thing we looked at was the fact that God communicates to us as believers through our spirit. The third thing is that we looked at is that our soul, but particularly our mind, is what interprets what God has put in our spirit and brings understanding to our mind so that we can know what God is saying. The fourth thing we looked at is the fact that linked to the third one. It is our mind that decodes what God is saying to us, and there's a particular state of mind that we need to have to understand what God is actually saying. And the fifth and the last thing we looked at is the fact that the state of your mind determines how clearly you will hear God. I don't know about you guys, but I'm really excited. There's so many things that has been coming to my understanding now. And for me personally, I'm just going to turbocharge, if I can use that word, turbocharge my ability to really, really discern what God is saying. And how do I intend to do that? And how can we do that? We'll look at that in the next few weeks. Amen. Let us pray.